Howdy, howdy, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 428, The Waterfowl Dive. How you folks doing? We're just a week away from Santa Claus coming, or could be Mr. UPS or somebody else bringing those goodies to you. Man, this year has flown by, because you know the week after Christmas, it's New Year's. Man, that's just, what, 15 days away? That boggles my mind. Hey, I understand it's been a busy week. I had a great week down last week in Arizona. Yeah, marvelous time. Probably the reason why I'm inspired to do this particular podcast now. I hope you've had a great week as well. Appreciate the few of you have written and all your very fine seasonal wishes. Means a lot to me, so thanks ever so much. So I am, again, recording using the Adobe Podcast. I am using the new V2 Enhanced Speech. I appreciate a couple of you telling me that you actually can hear a difference. It's, of course, AI, and AI is making me sound better, so that's always appreciated. Remember, you can find more information on the blog post for the podcast, which includes a photograph that supports what I'm talking about. Other links, like last week, their link was there for the Z6 3 settings that I had updated. Some other good stuff. And remember, over on Spotify, we can have a conversation. You can listen, stream the podcast. You can make comments, ask questions. I'm here to help you any way I can, and that's just a natural way of reaching me. Now, as you can hear, I'll probably cough it more than once during this. My apologies. I had laughed so much previous week at the Nikon Ambassador Summit that I actually came home and had lost some of my voice, which is now kind of coming back, but every so often I do have a wheeze or a cough, so my apologies. My good friends at Bedford Camera, that's bedfords.com, with all those stores, including the new one there in Kansas City, they are just going berserk, and you guys are driving it. So thanks ever so much. The elves there at Bedford's tell me that they've got stuff going out the doors. They have some great questions. And I love a couple of you have actually sent your spouse. I love this. Sent your spouse to Bedford's. Buying presents for yourself. I know one person who he the box for the lens is under the tree, but he's already enjoying that Christmas present. That's just so cool. I love it. And Bedford's, they're the perfect place to send your spouse with your Christmas list. They've got the inventory, the prices, the moose discount, and hey, they have got some great deals, including some amazing end-of-the-year Nikon special sales. So head to Bedford's, tell them that Moose sent you. You'll see that Moose discount after your purchase. And they are just great folks. Thank them for sponsoring the Moose podcast and, of course, helping us photographers with our great passion, visual storytelling. So thank you, Bedford's. Had a marvelous week last week. In the most unlikely spot, you'll see a moose shooting report for this place this week. That is the Riparian Preserve at Water Ranch. Now, that's a really fancy term, and it's actually a spectacular place, kind of in the middle of the city, in the middle of the desert, outside of Phoenix, where a lot of waterfowl show up. Now, these are not, for the most part, habituated waterfowl. Some of them are incredibly shy and hard to photograph. But there's a marvelous location there that there's the same kind of place playing out in my backyard in Montana. I know there is places in the Central Valley of California and the Central U.S. and the East Coast where you have access to waterfowl. And waterfowl, they're just a treasure to photograph that a lot of people don't really spend time with because it's a challenge. Now, in the perfect world, you would have one of those flow hides. I would love to have a flow hide, but you're talking about a minimum of a $2,000 investment just for that float hide. And then you have to have a place where you can actually use it. That's a challenge. So rather than to talk about what would be the perfect world, let's talk about what we normally would do, and that is shooting from the shore. Now, down at the preserve, you've got, I call it the dock, you've got this semi-floating walkway that's out in the water about 15, 20 feet from the shore. That extra little difference going out there is just a marvelous place to shoot. And there's many places that have boardwalks. And so in this process, the first thing you have to think about is when you feel people walking, you have to remember stop shooting, because the platform you're standing on is wobbling, and no matter what you do, proper longness technique or vibration reduction, it won't make a difference. You're going to have out of focus, jiggly pictures. Now, let's just kind of go down and start from the very beginning of this process and think about this. So the first thing we have to do is we've got to determine the gear that we want to shoot with. And that's a challenge. The old adage really works out here, right? If you don't go out with your longest lens, you'll come back short. Now, I know of a couple places in the San Francisco Bay Area that you can shoot waterfowl pretty effectively with a 70-200 or like a 7200 with a 2X on it. But those locations are kind of rare, but you'll have to start doing some basic homework. Now, the preserve down here is a reclamation set of ponds. There's six big ponds. And there are many locations throughout the U.S. where the reclamation ponds, the sewage treatment plants, allow you to go out there and photograph the birds on them. There's a marvelous one in Lincoln City, Oregon. There's a great one down in Southern California, Irvine, the San Joaquin River Preserve. These locations bring in waterfowl. Right now is a great time to do it. Fall and winter, really in the spring. They tend to come down from their migration, and they find these ponds. That's where they winter. You can find some real rarities. So you want to work with what gear you have. In my case, I shot exclusively with the Z600 F4 TC, shooting a 600 at 840 millimeters. This past week, I was using the Z6 III, and one of the things I want to mention that's kind of, I think you should think about is, we kind of get stuck in autofocus mode. We find one, and of course, that's the goal. You find one that works for you, you kind of stick with it. But you might want to explore. So I did this last week. I went to the C2 using the 25x5 grid in that, and then having the critter eye detection. And I'm telling you, it worked marvelous. If you've listened to past, you heard me talk about the 3D or auto area. In this case, waterfowl, that mode worked great. Now, okay, so I'm on a tripod, long lens, body, shooting continuous high. Now you have to start photographing the birds. First thing to keep in mind is that when you first arrive either on the shoreline or on the boardwalk or the dock in this case, that the bird's natural response is to move away from you. And there's nothing more challenging to photograph than a true mallard duck. If it's a duck pond mallard, they'll come right up to you, right? So they're expecting to get bread. And that's bad for them, by the way. Don't give them bread. If it's a real mallard, that's probably one of the hardest birds of all birds to get close to. So the first thing you want to do is when you arrive, be set, ready to go. If you're going to put teleconverters on, have that all done before you get to that shore, to where you're going to photograph them. Have everything set up on the tripod. So when you get there, you put your gear down and you stop. You're done. And then you wait. How long? A minimum of 10 minutes. Give them at least 10 minutes to get used to your presence. And some places you have to realize that you've got people, you've got dogs, other things will go by. Every time they do, that clock kind of will get set again. So just take a deep breath. Now, when do you want to go? I highly recommend the first couple hours of sunrise and then the last couple hours before sunset. You don't want that water really burnt out, so that the sun's too high in on the skyline. You're going to have to deal with really some hard light. And the beautiful plumage of ducks, waterfowl, you really want that soft light. So within that first couple hours, sunrise, my favorite time to photograph waterfowl, I'm typically going to set myself up so as I look at the ducks, the sun is either on my back or on my side at worst. And I'm looking for that light to go across, kiss the waterfowl. And here's the real trick in this, is to light up the other side of the pond, because that color, whether it be trees or reeds, whatever, is going to reflect into the water. And that's where you get that gorgeous water. And that's probably one of the big things about photographing waterfowl is the background. Now, if you're shooting on a gray overcast day, that gray is going to be reflected in the water. And gray water just is not really attractive. You know, gray skies, gray moods, that kind of thing. But if there's some activity going on the water, you'll get other reflections besides gray. And then you kind of get this, you can get this very woven kind of tapestry, which is really quite special and unique. And then if you have like some fall color, you'll get some yellow in there. So you have gray skies and you have reflection of yellow fall color, gray yellow or gray colors. Then you've got a ringneck duck or American widgeon or piebald grouper, anything going through that. Those reflections then set this great background. So you don't have to, your lens will be wide open. You don't have to shut it down. Wide open, it gives you the fastest shutter speed. And there are times where you more than likely will probably have to raise your ISO, 800, 1600, you know, because those little sweet little ducks are, of course, bobbing up and down in that water. And that water is getting stirred up by other waterfowl. So you have to compensate that and kind of watch as they bop around. Of course, then they've got lateral movement as they swim from point A to point B. So that's a lot of movement. So that shutter speed, what should you go for? Well, to be honest with you, you probably don't want anything less than 1/250th with 500 to 1,000th of a shutter speed. Probably going to yield you better results as they are zipping around back and forth. And so early morning, you could easily crank that ISO to 1600 to get that kind of shutter speed. Now, as you think about those nuts and bolts, one of the things you're going to think about is the actual distance between you and that waterfowl. Yeah, that can be a challenge. One thing to think about is to slowly pan with waterfowl as they slowly come towards you. Practice your panning. Look at your autofocus. And then when they get to the size you want in the viewfinder, then take their photographs as they go by. It will be a little time consuming, you might think, but the actual energy that comes through that photograph as you pan with them and they're coming over the little ripples behind them and you have that gorgeous water, you can get some really unique shots. And in the process of photographing waterfowl, don't expect to come back with thousands and thousands of clicks. It doesn't really work that way. You just need one or two individuals that will come up to you. And that will make your morning totally successful. You'll come back with really great photographs, and you'll be inspired to go out and work them some more. It's, like I mentioned, just this brief period in late fall and winter when they've come down from the northern latitudes where they're nesting that we get the chance to photograph them. In this process, a couple of things to think about. One will be exposure. Some ducks, let's say like a Western grebe, they're all white and black. You've got to watch your exposure or else all the information in that white area can really just blow out if you have any kind of hard light. you might have to underexpose for them. What about like a ruddy duck that has a big white patch cheek on their head? And they, if you have a good looking male, he's got that beautiful blue bill. Again, exposure compensation. You want to make sure you get the detail in those feathers. And if you go and shoot just when you've got the perfect light, you could have a really short day if it's bald skies. So keep that in mind. That exposure compensation can extend your shooting period and perhaps bring out information in that plumage that is important to that particular species. I mean, if you're photographing, for example, a white pelican, they're all white, so you don't have to have all that information. It's where you have little birds with little spots of white that are important that you want to make sure you capture that in that photographic process. Now, the other thing to think about is the fact that you need to have some ability to identify the birds. The drakes and the hens, they look quite different. And some of the hens are just, you know, kind of brown puffballs. Some of them, like the Gadwell hen or the American Wigeon hen, they really are very spectacular when you get close detail shots of their flanks, their covert feathers, really gorgeous detail. And some males, again, the American Wigeon, or let's say the Mallard everybody knows about, they've got green-winged teals. A lot of them have these very iridescent feathers on their head, and they got to turn their head just right to see those colors. Or a ring-necked duck, all that great purple. Those colors come out when you have some really bright overcast, and they've got this kind of giant kind of God's grim that the light is bouncing around. So there's times where you say, oh, it's gray skies. Maybe I shouldn't go out. But if you've done a little, maybe ahead of time research, and you see these species on the water, you might say, oh, now is the perfect time rather than not the time. So you got to do a little, maybe get out the Sibleys, look at the different species, see what you want to target. And if you really want to up your game and really make some really amazing shots, one of the big challenges that I like to do is to find shots where I have both the male and female in the same frame. And as soon as you do that, you then have to, what, close your lens down to have more depth of focus. When you do that, your shutter speed goes down slower. So you got all these processes that you need to, you know, deal with that, well, it's just part of the process. So think that all through as you go out there. Challenge yourself, and you probably will get hooked on the waterfowl. You will do that waterfowl dive. You folks have a great week. Appreciate you stopping on by. And remember to make every click your story.